Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. Last week, we said we would continue our study on the relationship between creation and the kingdom that Jesus Christ will rule over in the future. Remember, the kingdom is yet to be set up. In just a moment, I'll go through a discussion of the events that lead up to the kingdom, events that are foretold in the book of Revelation. I'll also focus on the Garden of Eden and the significance of this sacred place in the future. I actually know where the Garden of Eden is located today. We'll study that in just a moment. But first, let's consider the connection between creation and the kingdom to come. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Creation and the kingdom. What happened in creation set the pattern for the kingdom to come. The fact is that Adam and Eve were given rulership, dominion. They were to lead the kingdom at the time of creation. That was the pattern. And indeed, that will be replicated in the kingdom that Jesus Christ will set up with his bride. Adam and Eve, Jesus and his bride in the kingdom to come. We talked about the place. We talked about the Garden of Eden. That's where the original kingdom was set up. That's where the final kingdom will be set up and be the location throughout eternity future. And so we got to that point and we realized what was going to be taking place prior to that kingdom being set up. Talking about the rapture of the church, the appearance of the Antichrist, the alignment of the nations, the abomination of desolation with the temple in Jerusalem, the aggressiveness of the angels, the angelic war in the heavenlies, and Armageddon. And all of those things preceding Jesus Christ coming back to the earth when he indeed will set up the kingdom. And the only time Jesus Christ will be king when he sets up that kingdom, when God his Father gives him that kingdom. I talked about the place again, remember, and that was the Garden of Eden. I'd like to expand a bit more about the Garden of Eden, but show you how the Garden of Eden now plays in to what we see unfolding in our world today. Go with me, if you will, to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And let's look together, if you will, with me at the inauguration of the Garden of Eden. I remind you that it takes place on the third day of creation. And let me just set up. When Jesus shouts, the trump of God sounds, the archangel shouts, we go to be with him in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Watch my eyes, please. That was a blink. It's faster than that. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up to be with him. The rapture of the church, the next main event in God's calendar of activities. We're someplace just prior to the rapture of the church. May I say this to you? There's not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Out of the 1,500 end-time prophecies, all of them have been fulfilled that need to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Every prophecy I talk about and deal with has to be fulfilled after the rapture of the church. When the rapture takes place, when the body of Christ leaves here to go to the heavenlies, that initiates the fulfillment of rest of the prophecies that must be fulfilled according to God's word. Then there's a 7-year period of time. There are 16 chapters that detail what's going to happen during that period of time. Chapters 4 of Revelation through 19. Those 16 chapters give all the details of what's going to happen in this 7-year tribulation period. There's additional information in the 17 Old Testament prophetic books and other passages of Scripture throughout the entire Word of God, but those 16 chapters deal with this 7-year period of time. Chapter 19 reveals that Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. Chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah says in verse 2, all the nations of the world gather at Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet will use signs, wonders, and miracles And do we not have a proliferation of those today, the most intense that we've ever seen in the history of the world? They will use signs, wonders, and miracles to gather all these armies of the world into the city of Jerusalem. They're there to meet Jesus and try to keep him from coming back and establishing his kingdom. That's why there's a perversion of the kingdom today. They know what he's going to do. They know what's going to happen. They know the theocracy will be reinstituted and their satanocracy will come to an end. This is the 19th chapter when Jesus comes back. This is chapter 20, verses 1 to 6, a 1,000-year period of time. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. We rule and reign with Christ for 1,000-year period of time. At the end of that, Satan is loose, captured again by God. Then the great white throne judgment, in which time Jesus is the judge, sentencing those who rejected him into the lake of fire. And after that, eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And so this is how eschatological events are going to unfold chronologically as we approach a study of that. But again, I must tell you what we see about to happen, basically, is a result of what took place on the third day of creation when God inaugurated the Garden of Eden. Go to chapter 1 and verse 9. Let me show you this. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sea. And God saw that it was good. Now, I believe, in fact, when this did happen, God brought all of the land together in one large mass. Earth was one large mass floating in the water. And there earth was set as a large mass in what is the seas or the oceans. By the way, I believe there's an interesting text over in chapter 10 of the book of Genesis. In verse 25, it says, and in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. I believe that's not talking about the division of the peoples across the world. I believe it's literally talking about Eretz, land, the earth in Hebrew. It was divided. There are some scholars that disagree with that. There are a number of scholars that would agree with me. That is the day when the earth was divided. You look at the earth from a logical perspective, you can look at the shoreline of most of the continents. They look like puzzle parts that would fit in with the shoreline of the continent next to it, on either side of it, in front of it, and below it. And so I believe it was at that time. That would give a great explanation as to how Indians, for example, if you want to refer to the original natives of the North American continent, got here, is after the flood, they made their way to that section, and when the earth was divided, they were left there. They were already here. There was no way to get from there across the oceans and ultimately get to North America. So I believe that is the case. Now, you don't have to agree with me on that. You can say it's not correct. If you want to be wrong, that's all right with me. I don't care. But indeed, it's a great explanation as to how things did come about. And so he formed the earth. Now, in the center of the earth, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 5 and verse 5, notice most of the time I hardly ever give an opinion. I'm simply giving you the word of God. And it's how we understand the word of God. But I can tell you this, in Ezekiel 5:5, God said, I put the city of Jerusalem in the middle of the earth and all the nations around her. And so in Jerusalem, he's going to establish the middle of the earth, and that's where he is going to put the Garden of Eden. And that's what happens here on this third day of creation. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit. Remember, he creates with age after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. This is the inauguration of the Garden of Eden on the third day of creation. When you look at the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis, it's key you remember what is the subject of each of the chapters. Chapter 1 is creation. Chapter 2, the special effects our additional information about creation. Chapter 3, the fall of man. Chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. Chapter 5 is the genealogy. Chapters 6, 7, and 8 is Noah and the flood. Chapter 9 is Noah after the flood. Chapter 10 is another genealogy. Chapter 11 is the Tower of Babel. And chapter 12, call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And that's 2,000 years of human history. And so I just said chapter 2 gives us additional information. Let's look at more additional information about the Garden of Eden. Go to chapter 2 with me, if you will, starting in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden afterward. The word in my King James Bible is eastward, and the Hebrew word is gadim. Gadim basically means aforetime, before. If you're going to put a direction down, you've got to have a source from which that direction is recognized. He planted a Garden of Eden. This is the third day of creation. Eastward of what? And so I think the proper translation here is the Lord God planted a garden before in Eden. And there he put the man who he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so we see that there is a garden, and it's going to be the location where God is now going to bring man into existence. By the way, let me show you something. All of this life, this plant life that's there in the Garden of Eden needs to be watered. And so God establishes a river in the Garden of Eden. And I want you to notice in verse 10, there's only one river in the Garden of Eden. Many times people want to debate me about where the Garden of Eden is, and they say, well, what about the Tigris and the Euphrates River? Well, what about the Tigris and the Euphrates River? They're mentioned here in the passage, but they're not mentioned as being in the Garden of Eden. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. And a river, that's one, that's singular, uno. A river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted, someplace outside, from thence, outside somewhere. And it became four heads, the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Pishon, and the Gihon. And so those are the four rivers outside, but there's only one river in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you'll stop and think about it, you know which garden that was. It wasn't the Tigris and the Euphrates. I always tell people when they say, what about the Tigris and the Euphrates? I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Where was the Tigris and the Euphrates prior to the flood? Do you not remember that the flood, the water covered the entire earth, the highest mountain by 15 feet? It was a worldwide flood. The topography of the earth was changed. Just remind me, where was the Tigris and the Euphrates before the flood? Nobody seems to know. I don't know. Bible doesn't say. Oh, it said what direction it was going in, but it doesn't say exactly where it was. It may have been in the same place. I do not know. Or it may be in a different location. But it wasn't in the Garden of Eden. Only one river was there. Where's the Pishon? I have no idea where the Pishon River is. I do know where the Gihon is.
Indeed, there is only one river in the city of Jerusalem, and it's been there since the third day of creation. This fact is key to understanding why Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem during the kingdom period and into eternity future. The place where the kingdom will be set up is the Garden of Eden in Jerusalem. By the way, every Orthodox Jewish scholar believes that the foundation stone underneath that Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is where God created Adam and Eve. And that was, of course, the Garden of Eden, located there 6,000 years ago, as well as today. In a future study, we'll discuss the fact that the Muslims believe that the Garden of Eden is located on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem as well, and how it plays into the end-of-time scenario that can be found in Bible prophecy. Next week, we'll continue our study on the Garden of Eden and the fall of Satan that took place there. But right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...